crowd looks a little thin. That's a compliment. Yeah, I appreciate it if you'd repeat it back to me. Don't think that'll happen. Would like to say that, and it says it in the bulletin, Tracy and Grady and Sarah are going to Virginia, going to leave this afternoon after the Bible Bowl, if you would say an extra prayer for William and me, who are at home alone. And I'll be doing all the praying I can for Tracy that she'll come back and save us from each other. If you were going to teach somebody how to become a Christian, where would you start? Well, I hope you'd consider what Philip said to the Ethiopian eunuch. In Acts 8:35, it says he preached Jesus to him. Yeah, I don't remember where I heard it first, but it's been said that the Bible, the book of Genesis, all the way through the book of Revelation, is the history of one man and his family. And if you think about it, it's exactly right. All the way from the time of Adam and Eve through the time of Moses and the Jews and David and the divided kingdom and the prophets, all the way up through the Gospels, the book of Acts, the writings of Paul, Peter, John, and all the way through Revelation, it's all about Jesus and his family. First it was the Jews, now it's the Christians. Somebody also once said that there is a red thread that runs through the Bible, again from beginning to end, and that red thread is the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is the reason that there is so much good in this world. That there are Christian schools, that there are Christian hospitals, Christian orphanages, Christian counseling services. All of this is due to Jesus Christ. You know, if it weren't for Jesus, the Bible would have just been a book that was popular for a little while and then dropped off the bestseller list. And then you could pick up for five for a dollar, maybe at some outlet store. But no, Jesus is the center of it. I heard about a young man who attended school at one of the Brotherhood colleges, and he went up to one of his professors and he said, "You know, I had the hardest time living a Christian life when I was in high school and in junior high or middle school, but," he said, "since I've been here and I've studied more and I've learned more, rather than trying to be a Christian, I've been trying to live like Jesus." And imagine what it would be like if all of us who say that we're Christians would do our dead level best to be like Jesus. You know, I ask you, what if Jesus were to come back today? And that's a hypothetical question, okay? We know that the only time He's going to come back is in a cloud, and He's going to take home those first that are dead in Him and then those who are alive in Him. You know, but what if He were, just a hypothetical question, come back and live on this earth? What would He be like? How would He talk? What language would it be? How would He travel? What kind of car would He drive? What would He teach? Who would He associate with? Who would His friends be? Well, I don't know the answer to any of those questions, but I do believe that the Bible tells us. You know, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How do we find out what Jesus was like? By looking at artist conceptions of what they think He looked like? By reading some commentary somewhere written by some man? No, we do it by reading the Bible. John wrote, "He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked." We go to the Bible, we find out how Jesus walked, and that's the way that we're supposed to be. Peter put it this way, "For to this you were called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps." Again, we look in the Bible for the steps that Jesus took, and then we follow in them. You know, Peter and John, the two who wrote these two passages that I just read, they were like Jesus. You remember when they were arrested and carried before the Sanhedrin? In Acts 4:13, we read, "When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled." then they realized that they had been with Jesus. If we spend time with Jesus in the Bible, in Bible study, in meditation, and in devotion, then we will become more like Jesus. What was Jesus really like? First, He was truly real. He wasn't some sort of imaginary or fictitious character. He wasn't just made up. He was born in Bethlehem. His parents, when he was still an infant, carried him into Egypt, where he escaped the clutches of Herod. Then they brought him back and he grew up in Nazareth, up in Galilee. What was Jesus like during his early years? Well, he grew up in a godly household, we could say. They would have been practicing Judaism or the Hebrew religion. You know, he was raised as the son of a carpenter. He had a lovely and God-fearing mother in Mary. He had a wonderful God-fearing father figure in Joseph. He had four brothers, Joseph, Judas, James, and Simon. And he had at least two sisters. We know from the history of the Jews, he must have been raised and educated in his home and also in the synagogue. What was Jesus really like? He was wonderfully fearless. He had a lot of courage about him and nothing scared him. In John chapter 2, we read the story of Jesus cleansing the temple. The Passover of the Jews is at hand. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip out of cords, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep, the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned their tables. And he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise." Then his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." You know, it took an awful lot of courage to go in there all by himself, we can imagine, pretty close, against all of those people so powerful and cleanse that temple. Jesus spoke out against hypocrisy and self-righteousness whenever he saw it. He said to the most powerful men of the day, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees," and then he called them hypocrites. "You pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith." And again, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you're full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside may be clean also." Jesus didn't compromise when it came to sin. You know, even sin that was kind of its most sensitive nature. He taught in Matthew 19, "I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." Jesus was short, sweet, and to the point about how we're supposed to treat our neighbors. You know, Paul wrote about his teachings in Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 8. "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." We also see his courage or fearlessness as he went to the cross. You know, a long time before he was there in the garden and he prayed, because we know from what he said in that prayer in the garden that he didn't want to go to the cross if there was any way around it. He did say, "Father, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will but yours be done." It says in Luke 9, at least a year before he went to the cross, "It came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up that he set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem." In John chapter 6, we've got a beautiful story of Jesus. He fed the 5,000, just men. There were women and children with a snack pack from Captain D's, at least that's the way I would describe it, 5 loaves and 2 fish, 5, 10, 12,000 people. The people were coming to get a hold of him and make him a king by force, and yet he turned his back on them and walked away. Because Jesus loved us, on the night he was betrayed, he was ridiculed, he was spat upon, he was scourged, and finally the next day he was crucified. Hebrews 12:2 reads, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Are you ready to start living like Jesus? He said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to lose his life will save it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." To follow him, we need to be strong and fearless and courageous. It's not a weak or a half-lived life by any stretch of the imagination. What was Jesus really like? He was wonderfully gentle. He was meek, humble, and compassionate. Meekness is defined by Webster as patient, mild, not inclined to anger or resentment, humble. It's an attitude that shows itself in gentleness and tenderness. You see this characteristic in Jesus over and over again. About his humility, Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Jesus had compassion on everybody, especially the outcasts of society. How many times in the Gospels do we read that Jesus hung out with tax collectors and sinners? He was always there for the weak and the poor and the sick and the lame. Matthew wrote in chapter 9 and in chapter 14, "When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, and he healed them." You know, we know that Jesus was a compassionate person, because even as he was doing his teaching, he told stories, we call them parables, of compassion. And you think about that parable of the Good Samaritan. You know, the first two guys that went by were the religious people of the day, but they had no compassion on the man that was lying there in the ditch, half dead. It was the Samaritan that showed the compassion that Jesus said we need to have. And then in the story of the lost son, we call him the prodigal, who'd gone out and he'd wasted his money and all of his possessions in wine, women, and song. He came to himself and he went home to his father. His father saw him from a distance, went and threw his arms around his son's neck, kissed him, said, "Bring the calf, bring a ring, bring a robe to put around his neck." The father in that story illustrates our Heavenly Father. And so there'll be great reward, rejoicing in heaven among the angels over one person who repents. If you've decided to start living like Jesus, then you need to get out there among the people and start loving and serving. What was Jesus like? He was always prayerful. There was nothing in his life that he didn't share with his Father. Sometimes he'd go and he'd pray all night long. You ever done that? He'd get up early in the morning before the day even started, and he'd pray for hours, as far as we know. He always found time to share with his Father the important things, or even the ordinary things, I can imagine, that were going on in his life. How many times have we done that? Jesus made time for prayer. Everything that was important to him was important enough to share with his Father. What was Jesus really like? He was genuinely holy. In Mark chapter 1, the man with the unclean spirit said, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Peter and John said in Acts chapter 3, as they'd healed that man at the beautiful gate, "You denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you." If we're going to be like Jesus, then we've got to get away from sin. We've got to forsake it and run and hide when it comes knocking at our door. And we need to reach out and grab a hold to goodness and righteousness with both of our arms and hang on for dear life, because our life depends on it. What was Jesus like? He was consistently calm. You remember when He and His apostles were out on the Sea of Galilee? I want to remind you, I've used this story before. Four of those men on that boat were fishermen. They'd been fishing on that lake all their lives, and yet a storm came up and every one of them was scared to death. And when they woke Jesus up, was He concerned? "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Jesus had an inner peace and a calmness about Him that just wouldn't let Him get riled up over things. Just before His crucifixion, He told His disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." Because of His calmness and peace, He lived a life of joy. He said in Matthew chapter 5, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." He was doing His Father's will, and He wasn't going to be discouraged. If we're going to live like Jesus, we need to be calm so that we can have the joy that filled Jesus. What was Jesus like? He was forever loving. He said in John 14, 31, "I love the Father." He loved His friends. He loved us. He loved His enemies. How did He demonstrate His love? Well, in regards to God, He said, "That the world may know I love the Father, and as the Father gave Me commandments, so I do. Arise, let us go from here." Regarding His love for us, He said in John 3:16, and I know you know this as well as I do, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." If we're going to be like Jesus, then we've got to love God and we've got to do His will. Jesus said, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." In 1 John chapter 5, "This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." We got to love our neighbors. Jesus, when asked the greatest commandment, said, "Love God with all your being. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." We're also supposed to love our enemies. "I say to you," Matthew 5, "love your enemies, bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray to those for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." What was Jesus really like? He was all these things that we've looked at here for the past several minutes, and so much more. And can you imagine what this world would be like, what our neighbors and our friends, those that know us, would say if we stopped just acting like Christians and started acting like Jesus? He walked through this world to give us an example so that we could follow in His footsteps. And what an impact we could make on this corner of our world if we would just follow in those footsteps. There'd be many people, I think, that would be led to follow Him also. Of course, if you're not a child of God, then you have to repent of the life you've been living of sin, and you have to be baptized so that your sins are washed away. If you need the prayers of the saints, if you haven't been living the way that a Christian ought, if you haven't been living like Jesus showed us we're supposed to live, then you can come for the prayers of the saints. Or if you need to come for whatever reason, you have that opportunity, won't you, as we stand and sing?